And he was probably the most popular of his colleagues of his day. And he won all the awards for his various plays during his career as a poet and playwright. And there was one play in particular that he wrote about a very famous, very well-known woman there in Greece of high influence, of the companion of Alexander the Great and many other people during her time. Very influential woman, but who also influenced people for some bad things. And so in this play about this woman, Menander wrote, "Evil company corrupts good habits." Now, you probably don't recognize that from the play by Menander, but you do recognize it from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, where Paul quotes this Greek poet to people who live in Greece, in Corinth, and who would be very familiar with this poet and his works. And in the context of Paul's statement, he is in the middle of his defense of the doctrine of the resurrection, because there were some, apparently, there in Corinth, maybe even part of the church, who were claiming that there is no such thing as the bodily resurrection. And they were leading these Corinthian Christians astray from the truth. And so Paul admonishes them by quoting from Menander and says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits or good morals." He tells them, you need to stay away from those people who are corrupting you. They are not a good influence on you. Menander recognized that that was a universal truth, that if you hang around with the wrong people, then you're going to be influenced to do bad things. And Paul, of course, recognized that and played upon that quotation from Menander and said the same thing. And then, even long before either one of those, Solomon, in the Proverbs, as we're going to look at this morning, gives us several admonitions, several proverbs, several warnings about the company that we keep. And so this morning, we're going to be taking a look at choosing the right companions. And that font didn't transfer too well, so apologize for that. Choosing the right companions is what we're going to be looking at this morning. The sway over our friends, or the sway that our friends have over us, rather, is quite strong. We want to be liked. We want to fit in. We want people to want to be around us. And so when some of our companions decide they're going to go over here and do such and such, or they're going to talk about such things, we may be tempted to compromise our beliefs. We may be tempted to compromise our standards, because we don't want to be seen as maybe a goody two-shoes. Or maybe we don't want to be talked about behind our back, and we don't want people thinking about us in ways that would hurt our feelings. And we want to be included. And so those companions that we're around, they may start encouraging us to do some things that we normally wouldn't do, that we know in the heart of our hearts is not in keeping with the Word of God and not the way a Christian should behave. And so not following after them means that we might lose out on that companionship. And if it continues, it might mean that they don't want to be friends with us anymore. And that draw, that pull to have friends and to have people accept us and want to be around us is extremely strong. We call it by another term. We call it peer pressure. Now, we typically think of peer pressure as something that is reserved for those who are younger. But I would guarantee you that every one of us, regardless of our age, has experienced it even beyond our youth. And we will be put in situations at times where we have to make a decision what we're going to do with these companions that we're with. Are we going to continue to be with these companions? What do? Are they influencing us, or are we influencing them? Peer pressure is strong even as you're older. However, those of you who are school age, and school just started last week, for most of you at least, and you're going to be around people who are not necessarily going to have the same values that you have, people that are not being trained in the ways of godliness like you are, And so this is where the wisdom that Solomon offers needs to be heeded. What does the Holy Spirit say through Solomon about choosing the right companions? Well, the truths that Solomon and that Menander and that Paul and many others have stated over the times about this subject, it's not really that profound, is it? We know deep in our hearts that this is a very simple truth, and that is that bad companions will be a snare to us. They will lead us astray. They will lead us in the ways of wickedness. And good companions will make us a more godly person. Those are not profound truths. But Paul knew that we can forget those things from time to time, and that's why he, before he quoted Menander, he added on to that, do not be deceived. Because even those adult Christians in Corinth were being deceived. They were not heeding the warnings, and they should have known the Proverbs. They should know not to hang around with those people that are corrupting them. And we should know that too, but we need reminders from time to time. And so Solomon basically tells us two things that we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at several passages from the Proverbs. You can go ahead and be turning to Proverbs chapter 12, please. Proverbs chapter 12. And the first admonition he gives us is that bad companions will be a snare to us. Bad companions will be a snare to us. And in Proverbs 12 and in verse 26, he says it this way. Proverbs 12, verse 26. He says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Choose your friends carefully. Pay special heed who you're going to be around and who you're going to spend most of your time with, because they will influence you. That's true whether they're good friends or whether they're bad friends. They're going to influence you. And so you need to be careful about who you are choosing as your friends, because if they are wicked people, you're going to be tempted to be led astray. And you may look back on some time in your life when that has actually happened to you, where you chose the wrong friends and you abandoned the truths that you had been presented from your childhood. You abandoned the admonitions of the Scriptures, and you followed in the ways of your friends, and you went down paths that you know were not right. It may be that you know somebody that way. Maybe you've seen that happen with one of your children, and you have concerns for them. We typically quote 1 Corinthians 15:33 in that context when talking to our children. But that passage was not written to children, it was written to adults. Like I said, this applies to all of us. But we need to be careful who our friends are, because we can be led astray. And how does that work? Go back to the first chapter of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 1, and you'll see a warning there that the father gives to his son, that Solomon is writing to his son, and he says in Proverbs 1 and verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If sinners entice you, it's that word that has to do with temptation and showing you some things that could be fun or excitable and things that may be alluring to you, and they're encouraging you to participate in something or to talk in ways that maybe, and talk about things that maybe you shouldn't be talking about. And you're just like James says about temptation, and we're drawn away by the lust of our own lust. We're enticed by those things. We're drawn in, and it gives birth to sin. And he says sinners are going to do that. Now he goes on to talk about those who may invite you to come along with them and shed innocent blood. And as I said before, a few weeks ago when we were looking at this passage, I said I hope to goodness that there's nobody here that would be tempted to go about shedding innocent blood. At least I don't think there's anybody in our midst that would be tempted to that extreme. But that's certainly not the only temptation that sinners present in our path. They will encourage us to participate in things or do things or say things that just are not becoming of Christians. And so we want that interaction, we want that fellowship, and so we are enticed and we may just give in. And Solomon says, do not consent to that. Do not go in their path. Proverbs 16, he says it this way. In Proverbs 16 and in verse 29, he says, a violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. A violent man entices his neighbor. And so regardless, really, of what kind of sinner this companion may be, what the sin involved is, there will be people that you come across, whether it be at work, whether it be at school, whether it be your physical neighbors, whether it be that club that you're a part of, that organization you're a part of, who you may find appealing and you want to spend more time with them, but then they start enticing you in ways that you should not go. And Solomon warns us, says, do not go down that path. Do not follow them. Choose your friends carefully. Do not consent to their enticing words. And he gives another reason in Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, beginning in verse 24. He singles in on a specific characteristic of an individual. And while he may not be enticing you specifically to participate in some kind of sins, what this verse tells us is that we are influenced to become like the people that we spend the most time with. And we understand that, don't we? That the people you spend the most time with, you're going to become like them. You're going to start talking like them. You're even going to start dressing like them to some extent. You're going to see things that they're doing, see things that they're wearing, and you want to be like that. Just the other day, I was with my boys and Casey, and we were driving to the Cahaba Heights area. I was taking them to a teen study there. And we picked up one of their friends on the way. Some of you may know Adam Barrett from the Gardendale Church. We picked up his son Carter, and we were going down there. And one of the things that my boys have done over the last several weeks is they've picked up some of the speech of another friend of theirs, Burke Torbert. Some of you know the Torberts from the Gardendale Church. And Burke has some sayings that they started copying. And guess what we hear at least 10 times a day in our house? We hear these same sayings over and over again. And they were talking about this on the way down there, and Carter said, you know what, Burke doesn't even say that anymore because we stole it from him. Because they hung around Burke. They started talking like Burke. Now that's something that's benign. It was nothing that to be really worried about. It was just more annoying than anything else. But there was nothing wrong with what they were saying. But when you when you are around someone with a certain characteristic, you're going to start behaving like that person. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Proverbs 22, verse 24. He says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. You have someone that has a bad temper, that is constantly angry and mad, and that comes out in his personality and his behavior. If you're hanging around that person all the time, guess what? It's going to rub off on you. And you're going to become like that person. He says, you're going to learn his ways and you're going to set a snare for your soul. All of these verses, all these admonitions, these proverbs from Solomon have the same theme. And that is that bad companions are going to be a snare to you. They're going to lead you in the wrong direction, and you need to steer clear of those companions. Finally, in Proverbs 13 and in verse 20, Proverbs 13 and in verse 20, he gives the contrast between two types of people that we can walk with, that we can be companions with. Proverbs 13 and verse 20, he says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. You know, we've talked a lot over the last few lessons about wisdom, since we're discussing the Proverbs and the wisdom that comes through looking at these Proverbs.
And we talked about the search for wisdom and why it's important to gain wisdom. And this verse makes a very clear point and a good admonition for us, and that is, if you want to be wise, be amongst the wise. We've talked about praying to God for wisdom, James 1 and verse 5. We've talked about opening up God's Word and learning more about God and His will for us and gaining wisdom that way. But there's also the other aspect, and that is be amongst those who are wise. But the flip side of that, that he says in Proverbs 13 verse 20, is the companion of fools will be destroyed. You hang around with fools, it's not going to end well. And so bad companions will be a snare to you. We must be careful about whom we spend our time with. But let me say this as well. That is, our companions are not limited to the people that we call friends, the people that we hang out with, the people that after school and after work that we spend our time with, that maybe we go out with to get something to eat, or maybe go do some activity together, or go to some party with. It's not just those individuals. It can be the people that we work with that we really don't have a choice in the matter. That it's just somebody that we're stuck with in our workplace or in our school, and we cannot do much about it at that point. We have to employ wisdom about what we'll do in those situations. May I suggest to you that in any course of action, or the any situation you find yourself in, the best course of action, of course, is to be a good influence upon those who are trying to be a negative influence on you. Instead of them rubbing off on you, you do your best to rub off on them. You show them the way. You show them the truth of Jesus Christ and His Word and what He expects of us. You show them that certain behaviors or vocabulary is not in keeping with being a holy individual. You don't have to be demeaning in doing so. You don't have to be rude in doing so, of course. But it's an opportunity to teach them the gospel. But may I suggest to you that ultimately, you may have to make a hard decision. If it's a situation that it's not improving, if it's a situation that you cannot seem to change on your own, you may need to make a bigger change and remove yourself from the situation, no matter how difficult that might be. And I'd understand if you're a student in school, that's something that's going to be hard. And you may need to talk to your teacher, you may need to talk to the principal, you may need to talk to a counselor and get some help. If it's something to do with work, can you imagine changing a career? Something you've been doing for 20, 30 years? That's hard. But if you're in a situation that's bringing you down and not drawing you closer to the cross, but driving you away from the cross, then you need to make those hard choices. You need to put yourself in a situation that is going to better you and not something that's going to drag you down. Your soul is not worth staying in that environment. But may I suggest, actually, that there is one particular situation that we all have control over that maybe we don't do a very good job with. And that is, sometimes we choose to allow companions into our lives that normally we would not allow. That normally we would not hang around these type of people, that we would not spend time with them, but we on a regular basis allow them into our lives. No, they're not people that we ever really know or people that we've ever met, but it's people that we see and hear and watch through various forms of media, whether it be TV shows or movies, music that we listen to, videos that we watch. And I would hope that none of you would purposely associate with people who frequently talk inappropriately about sexual matters. I would hope that none of you would ever purposely spend time with people who are constantly using foul language. I hope that none of you would purposely spend time with people who are dressed in extremely inappropriate ways, and certainly you wouldn't find yourself in a situation where you would allow sexual behavior to take place right there in front of you. And yet, when we turn on that TV or watch that movie, and that's being streamed and beamed into our minds, those companions are coming into our hearts, into our minds, and they are having an influence upon us. And the biggest lie that Satan will tell you is, oh, it doesn't really bother me. And may I suggest to you that if you find yourself saying that, that hearing that language or watching those inappropriate scenes or listening to that kind of music doesn't bother you, then my brother, you have a problem. Because it should bother you. And you are being influenced. You are being deceived. Paul says, don't be deceived. Evil company will corrupt good habits and good morals. And so while we may never invite an individual into our close circle that talks that way or behaves that way or dresses that way or does those types of things in our midst, while we may never allow that to happen in an personal way, are we doing that with the media that we choose to consume? Go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23. Proverbs 4 verse 23, Solomon says, keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Your heart should be a guarded possession. Something that you treasure, something that you do not want anything to corrupt. You want to keep it pure. And so don't let anything in that is going to affect it negatively. Bad companions will be a snare to you. Do not be deceived. They will affect you negatively.
Well, the flip side of this that Solomon addresses in the Proverbs is that while bad companions are a snare to us, good companions can help us be more godly. Now, I don't mean by this, and I'm not certainly implying that every single friend you have, every single companion that you choose to associate with, should be a Christian that has the same values that you have. I'm not suggesting that we need to shrink back from the world, that we need to have no contact with people that are not Christians. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. However, we need to make sure that the people we spend the most time with are people that are not dragging us down, but building us up. People that will help us be a better person. People that will help us focus on godly things. A good companion is one that will not be a stumbling block to our faith, will not tempt us to do things that we know are wrong. And there are plenty of benign activities and conversations and fun times that we can have with friends who are not Christians. We don't have to be with Christians all the time. However, it's when those companions start to get involved in or encourage us to be involved in sinful or unwise behaviors, that's when we need to question whether or not they're the type of companion that we should have. But when it comes to your closest friends, if you were to name your five closest friends, if you were to think about those individuals that you spend the vast majority of your time with, of your voluntary time with, are they the kind of people that are encouraging you to be more godly? Or are they the type of people that because of their actions or behaviors or language are actually a negative influence on you? They need to be godly. They need to at least encourage you to be godly. Take a look at Proverbs 27. We'll take a look at a few verses there in Proverbs 27. Here is one way that a good companion will help us. Proverbs 27 and verse 5. He says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Have you ever thought about a friend that way? That the way you can determine who your true friends are
is not whether a true friend is not someone who never tells you that you've done something wrong, that always gives you good feedback, always talks about the good things. No, that's actually the kisses of an enemy. The friend is the one that's willing to wound you. The friend is the one that is willing to openly rebuke you. Why? Not because they're some higher and mightier than you, not because they're holier than thou, not because they are condescending to you. No, because they love you and they see something in you that needs to be corrected and they want you to be better. That's the kind of friend we need. Look over at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, there the other viewpoint is mentioned, that is, for those of us who are spiritual, when we see somebody, he says, when you see a brother that is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Why? Is it because we want to humiliate our friend? Is it because we want to humiliate that person who is caught up in some sin? No, it's because we want what's best for them. And so a good friend, a good companion, is somebody that's going to help us be more godly, and that's going to require them to sometimes rebuke us. That's going to require them to wound us and not just give us kisses all the time. Because let's face it, there are things in our life that we know we need correcting on. That we may take a misstep here and there. We may do something or say something that is not proper. We need a friend to show us the proper way. Continue on in Proverbs 27. Just drop down a few verses. Proverbs 27 and verse 9. He says, "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." See, a bad companion is going to be a snare to us in numerous ways, some of which we discussed about enticing us to go in ways that we should not. But sometimes that bad companion can be a snare to us because he gives us bad counsel. It's counsel that's not seated in the wisdom of God. It's not seated in spiritual matters. But the counsel of a good friend, of a good companion, is one that is going to be based upon the truth of God's Word. It's going to be based upon the wisdom presented in His Scriptures. And so it is good to have those kind of friends that we can go to and we can say, "My brother or my sister, I need some help in this situation. Please help me and show me what I need to do." Ben, in his prayer this morning, prayed about wisdom because there are times that we just don't know what we need to do. And obviously God should be the first person that we turn to, our first source of wisdom. But as Solomon says, a good friend is also a person to turn to. We need to make sure that it's the type of companion that will give us hearty counsel, good counsel that is based upon the wisdom of God. We need those type of friends. And then drop down a little bit further in Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Here's one that you've heard probably all your life. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. How many times, countless times, have we experienced this exchange between ourselves and a friend of ours, even in just ordinary daily activities, and we're trying to brainstorm some ideas, and so you get a couple people together and they bounce things off of one another and you come up with better ideas than you would ever have on your own. And while that's true for a practical daily living, it is certainly even more true when it comes to the spiritual side of life. That we need those companions that we can turn to that will sharpen us, that will make us even more godly, that will help us down the right path. Bad companions will be a snare to us, but good companions will help us to be more godly. I came across a quote while researching this topic that I thought was well worded. And the author said this. He says, "I do not live in a vacuum.
I need to ask myself, who is influencing me? And to consider whether that influence is moving me closer to or further from the cross. We need to question. Every one of our companions, don't question them personally, question yourself about your companions. Are they moving you further away from the cross? Or are they moving you towards the cross? And that's true, like I said, of either somebody you work with or somebody you attend school with, your neighbor, whoever you spend time with, but it's certainly true even of those companions we allow into our home through various forms of media. Is it helping us to move closer to or further away from the cross? I want to remind us, though, of the importance of not just shutting off the world. I think in times past there have been well-meaning sermons and classes and statements made about avoiding those type of companions that would be classified as a bad companion, to where you have no interaction with them whatsoever. And I growing up, received numerous warnings about this, and I'm glad I did. But I tell you what I don't think I received enough of. I don't think I received enough of an encouragement to actually be amongst the world. Not just for the purpose of having fun with them and going to a party or going out to eat or going seeing a movie. Not for that reason. But for a bigger reason. And that was so that I could actually have a friendship with someone that I could then use to speak to them about the gospel message. And people will say, well, you look at Jesus. He, of course, ate with sinners and he spent time with them. Yes, that's true. But was he just partying it up? Was he just there to have a good time? No, every time we see that in the scriptures, what does he do? He uses that as a teaching opportunity. And so here's the challenge for us. And here's where it gets difficult, and here's where we really need wisdom on this in choosing the right companions, and that is we need to achieve a balance between how much time we spend with the people of the world so that we are not influenced for the negative, and how much time we spend with godly friends to build us up and support us, but not leave so much time away from the world that we don't even have any interaction that we can't influence them or teach them. We need to consider our relationships in the light of how are they influencing me to be godly and how am I influencing them to be godly. It's not just a one-way street, it's a two-way street. And we need to look at our friends, we need to look at our colleagues and ask ourselves, are we using the opportunities that are placed before us that may even be placed there by God Himself to then talk to that person about the correct way of life? There's nothing more important than being sure in your faith and sure in your foundation. And so spend time with these people right here as much as you can. Spend time with other Christians as much as you can. But we need to be that light to the world. We need to be out there amongst the world, teaching them and showing them the right way. But choose your companions wisely. They can either be a snare to you, or they can help you be more godly. This morning, I want to encourage you to be the kind of godly person that you need to be. And if there's something in your life that is keeping you, that is hindering you from being as godly as you need to be, that is keeping you from advancing even further in your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you need to give that up. You need to cut out of your life, whether it be an individual, whether it be a particular friend or colleague, whether it be something that you're choosing to watch on a regular basis or the type of entertainment choices, whatever the influence is, get rid of it. Draw closer to Jesus Christ. If you have not yet formed a relationship with Him through baptism, we want to encourage you to do so this morning as well. Come to Him this morning and be washed of your sins in the grave of baptism.
and rise up as a new creature. If we can help you in your walk with Christ, won't you come forward as together we stand and as we sing.